These three words that the children used at the end of that video to summarize the Christmas message are truly remarkable, and they are central to the promise of Christmas that God is with us, God with his people. This Christmas, we've been following the theme of a very different Christmas with the tagline, "What are you hoping for this year?" There are loads of copies of these books available if you want to take one for yourself or take one for somebody else. If you take it and give it as a gift, we won't tell anyone you got it for free. They're available on the table at the back. Take more than one if you feel you can use it and share it with somebody. But it's really encouraging us to think about the reality of what is our hope and expectation at this time of year. I've had a number of people this year say to me, "I don't feel very Christmassy." And I'm not entirely sure what that means, because we often have very little choice whether you want to feel Christmassy or not. It's time to prepare for Christmas services and get Christmas messages ready. I don't know what people are expecting. What is it you're hoping for? What is it you're longing for? What does Christmas mean to you? And it can mean all kinds of things to various people. As the little video just showed there, we could be thinking just about the material side, or we might be thinking about the emotional, sentimental side. But we really hope that Christmas would be different for us if we would think about the spiritual side. And as we've been thinking about that, we've been considering the fact that at the heart of Christmas is the issue of giving gifts and receiving gifts. And what we've looked at over the last couple of Sundays in Allender Church is the fact that behind good gift giving is the power of preparation, thinking and planning, and going about your business, giving real consideration to who you're buying for and what you're buying for them. And it fits in with our Christmas theme in the sense that when the Christmas story unfolds in the world, it just didn't suddenly happen in the middle of nothing, in the middle of nowhere. It happened at God's appointed time. And God was fulfilling promises and showing his purposes in all the events that we call the Christmas story. Before the birth of Jesus, we have the birth of John the Baptist, because God had promised that before the Messiah came into the world, God would send someone as a forerunner to make people aware that the Messiah was on his way. He's coming. As someone said to me, it's not Santa Claus is coming to town we should be singing, but Jesus Christ is coming to the world. Because that's what happened in the first Christmas, and it's what's going to happen in the next great move of God's power in human history. And then we considered, as well as the preparation behind Christmas, that God speaks to us very specifically of the purpose in his giving. We heard it alluded to in so much of what we've heard already tonight, the fact that when God was fulfilling his word, and there was all the amazing physical aspects of having to go to Bethlehem, the small town, and people had forgotten about it, but God had always said that it would be from that town his ruler would arise, and all these things were being fulfilled. But it's also very specific that Jesus is to be a Savior. This is the gift God is giving. This is the gift God has given the world. And we recognize that that's a challenging gift and a humbling gift, because if we realize what God has given us, we have to realize something about ourselves. If God's gift to us is a Savior, it's because we need saving. I was reading, and I think it was in a book by Timothy Keller recently, and he said, you know, if you open your Christmas presents on Christmas Day morning and three people give you books that, you know, like 10 Easy Steps to Lose Weight, if three people give you the same book, and maybe somebody else and two other family members give you a book that's like, you know, 10 reasons why telling the truth is important. If people who love you start giving you gifts like that, you realize maybe I need to really take account of my own life and what I'm doing with it. And when the God of all eternity sends the world he created a gift, and he doesn't just send a benevolent Santa Claus who gives us whatever we want, no, he sends us someone who has the power and ability and authority to save us from our sins, then maybe we should really take heed of why he's given us such a gift. And we've also looked at the fact that Jesus is the one who has given the Father already the perfect gift to offer his life in perfect obedience, to honor God the way human beings should. And he's come to fulfill the design of humanity. And we get to share in the wonders of what Jesus has done. And that brings us tonight just to think about the problem with what we bring, the problem gift that, or the problem with giving a gift that we have when it comes to our relationship with God. I don't know if you've ever had this experience where maybe it's some kind of shared event, someone's birthday or someone's retirement, and you know everyone gathers and you all bring gifts and you put your gifts down and you know you think you've brought a really smart and funny gift. You're trying to be clever, and then as the gifts start getting opened and everyone's opening the gifts, you realize that everyone else has put a lot of serious thought into what they've brought. And lots of people have brought things that are appropriate and show respect and love for the person that's receiving the gift. And you're sitting there thinking, oh no, when they get to mine, it's going to be so embarrassing. In many ways, if we think of our lives being opened up in the vision of God's perfect righteousness, the Bible tells us that it will be embarrassing. When God looks for holiness, righteousness, truth, mercy, compassion, justice, when he looks for these things in human life, the day he opens our life, as it were, and the Bible tells us that is going to happen, we could find ourselves very ashamed and embarrassed when we think that every motivation, every thought, every inner desire, every inner longing is suddenly exposed to the light of God's truth, God's holiness, God's righteousness. When the gift is opened up, the gift of the life he gave us, and we kind of give it back to him, and it's become a mess and a distortion of all that it should have been. Now, when we think about these things, there's a number of responses that we may have. One, maybe we think that we're good enough and God will be happy with us anyway. Ah, forget it. You know, when we realize we've made a mess of the gift, we just say, ah, so what? It's a thought that counts. Although sadly, that just emphasizes that there wasn't much thought. And many people are like that when you think about their lives being opened up by God. They think, well, you know, I do my best. You can go and visit men in prison, women in prison, and they'll tell you that they're good people. We can have that belief about ourselves. But when God opens up our hearts and God opens up our lives, we could be in for a shock. The second reaction, one might be that we just feel arrogant about the gift. The second one might be that we fear, knowing that we're far from perfect, knowing that and understanding that God is someone who just cannot compromise who he is. So the standard of his perfection stands for all eternity. We know that he's not going to say, oh, well, I know, you know, that you tried your best and it'll do. You see, God can't do that because he's provided the best for us. And that brings us to the hope that people will this Christmas realize that there is a way of having confidence on the day that God opens up our lives. It's knowing that God has provided a way in which we can live our lives with assurance and with blessing and with hope and with purpose, knowing that when the day comes and our life is opened up before God, we know that we have hope because when he opens it up, he won't look and see all our badness. He'll look and see the goodness of Jesus Christ. That is the purpose of Christmas, the purpose of Easter, the message of the good news of the gospel, that God has come to rescue us, God has come to save us, God has come to be with us, God has come to live in such a way that we can have confidence before him. That's why the word of God says to us, no one whose hope is in you, in other words, no one whose hope is in God will ever be put to shame, will ever be embarrassed or put to shame in God's presence. This is the wonder of the gift. This is the wonder of God's love to us, the wonder of God coming for us, the wonder of Emmanuel, God being with us, God coming to remove our sin, to deal with our judgment, and to give us life and to fill us with his love. I don't know if anyone's ever done this. This takes me back to my student days, when you would go to a gathering and realize you haven't brought a gift, that you misunderstood what the intention of the event was, and you're going along. Obviously, I'm talking about my friends, not me. They've come unprepared. Maybe they didn't understand what was happening. Maybe they didn't understand that you were expected to bring something, expected to share something. And you come and you've got nothing to offer, and other people are all going in with gifts. Some people have done this in reality. Somebody kindly says to you, just stick your name in with mine. It's a gift from you and from me. That you haven't paid for it, you haven't contributed to it. I have to confess that sometimes in life people come up to me and thank me profoundly for the kind gift I gave them for their birthday or for Christmas. And I have to confess, I have to ask my wife, what did we give? I wasn't involved in the process, but my name was attached to it. And you know, the wonderful thing about Christianity is this, that God in Christ has come and done all that is needed to save humanity. He has offered the Father the perfect gift. And in the invitation of the good news, he is saying to you and to me, you can stick your name on it. You can never be good enough for God, but I've been good enough, and you can stick your name on me. You can never be perfectly obedient. You can never be perfectly holy. You can never be perfectly righteous, but I've been that. I've done that. Give your name to me. And you share in the glory, and you share in the joy, and you share in the wonder of being accepted and loved in God's eternal presence forevermore. You could have a very different Christmas if the spiritual power of Jesus Christ becomes the driving force and the dominating factor in our lives. Let's pray, and then we'll watch another video and come to our closing song together. God, we do praise and thank you that you have so wonderfully worked out a way of salvation, something that gives us hope, Lord. As we look around us in this world, we recognize there's nothing but trouble, nothing but pain. There's uncertainty. There's insecurity. And our hearts yearn for greater things than to this world belong, which testifies to us, God, that you've made us for another world than this. And so we pray that tonight, as we recognize every insufficiency and every deficiency within ourselves to ever be perfectly acceptable in the presence of eternal holiness and righteousness, we thank you that simply trusting in the name of Jesus and adding our name, as it were, to all that he has done, we thank you for the glory of the life and the love we receive as we share in who he is. Father, be with us and bless us and help us. In Jesus' name, amen.